Hey, podcast listeners. Thanks for streaming today's podcast from Pathway to Victory. Pathway to Victory is a nonprofit ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Dr. Robert Jeffress. Our mission is to pierce the darkness with the light of God's Word through the most effective media available, like this podcast. To support Pathway to Victory, go to ptv.org/podcast and click the donate button or follow the link in our show notes. Now, here's today's podcast from Pathway to Victory.
Hi, this is Robert Jeffress, and I'm glad to study God's Word with you every day on this Bible teaching program. On today's edition, A Pathway to Victory.
The resurrection isn't just incidental, it is essential to the Christian faith. And today, we're going to discover why. By answering the question in the reverse, if Jesus is still dead, so what? If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Welcome to Pathway to Victory with author and pastor Dr. Robert Jeffress. Jesus was a great teacher and humble servant. But frankly, the world has seen plenty of other great teachers and humble servants. So what makes Jesus different from the others? Today on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress explains why the resurrection of Jesus Christ sets him apart from all other religious leaders. Now here's our Bible teacher to introduce today's message. Dr. Jeffress?
Thanks, David, and welcome to a brand new week of Bible teaching on Pathway to Victory. Just before we start today's message, let me give you an easy assignment. Go to ptv.org and check out the 2024 Pathway to Victory Cruise to Alaska. The dates are about 3 months away, June 15th through 22nd. Now, this is a uniquely Christian vacation that's planned with your values and preferences in mind. In fact, we're bringing along our own music and entertainment. We'll have Michael O'Brien and Rebecca St. James leading us in music. We'll enjoy the comedy of Dennis Swanberg, and I'll be teaching from God's Word. Of course, the sights from the deck of the luxury cruise ship are worth the trip as well, and you'll love strolling through the quaint Alaskan towns along the way. Now, again, the dates are June 15th through 22nd. To find out more and to reserve your spot on the Pathway to Victory Cruise to Alaska, just go to ptv.org. With Easter Sunday right around the corner, we decided to devote the entire month of March to the power of the cross. Our entire Christian faith is founded on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, for the last year, we've been working on a coffee table book that celebrates the power of the cross. It's a photo album of sorts, but it's far more than that. In my book, I've included many of my favorite images from Israel. Each one is paired with storytelling and biblical insights from me. And when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, I'll make sure you receive a copy of this book, this new book called The Power of the Cross. Now, let's get started with today's message. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I titled my presentation with a question. If Jesus is dead, so what?
Paul clarifies the truth about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. He begins by making the case for Christ's resurrection. How do you know Christ really arose from the dead? Well, he talked about the evidence of Scripture. Now, the second piece of evidence is the evidence of eyewitnesses, Paul says. Testimony of eyewitnesses has long been considered one of the most reliable forms of evidence. Simon Greenleaf was a professor at Harvard University. His specialty was in the law of evidence, legal evidence. He was also an unbeliever, and he decided his life mission would be to disprove Christianity by disproving the resurrection. And he tried to do so by using and applying the laws of legal evidence to the claims of the resurrection. After he had spent years searching the evidence, he became so convinced of the historicity of the resurrection that he became a Christian himself. And he wrote, "It can be said without doubt that there is more evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead than just about any event in human history." You don't have to give up your intellect to become a Christian. The Christian message is not based on feeling, it is based on fact. Paul said that is the certainty of the resurrection. But what if? What if the resurrection is fiction? Does it really make that much difference? Paul says yes. Beginning in verse 12, he gives us seven consequences of no resurrection. And he starts with the general argument and then comes to the very specific and very personal to you and me. What are the consequences of no resurrection? Remember, some in the church said there's no such thing as people coming back from the dead. This life is all there is. Well, if that's true, there is no resurrection, then Paul says the first consequence is Christ is not risen from the dead. Look at verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he's been raised from the dead, how do some of them among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. The second consequence, preaching is useless. And if Christ has not been raised, verse 14, then our preaching is in vain. There's no reason for me to be standing up here talking to you all if there is no such thing as a resurrection. Preaching is vain. If there's no such thing as the resurrection, the Bible is reduced to nothing but an Aesop fable. Anybody want to hear that week after week? I sure don't. No, if there is no resurrection, all preaching is in vain. Not only that, if there is no resurrection, third, faith is meaningless. Look at verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith also is in vain. Do you remember that faith you exercised to become a Christian? Do you remember that faith? That was just an emotion. It wasn't faith. You know that faith that you said came alongside of you and empowered you when you lost that loved one? That's just your imagination. Faith is absolutely meaningless, Paul said, if there is no resurrection. Not only that, fourth, if there is no resurrection, all Christians are liars. Look at verse 15. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. Paul is saying, I and all other apostles, every one of us is a liar, if in fact Christ wasn't raised from the dead, because we've testified that he has been risen from the dead. Do you believe that about all of the apostles, that they were liars? Fifth, if there is no resurrection, you are still in your sins. Look at verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. That is, your sins have not been forgiven if there is no such thing as a resurrection. You say, well, what does my forgiveness have to do with the resurrection? Well, it has everything to do with it, because what the resurrection tells us about Jesus Christ. Listen to me, the resurrection told us two things about Jesus Christ. The resurrection, first of all, verifies the deity of Jesus Christ. It is the signal proof that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God. The Bible says the resurrection verifies the deity of Christ, but secondly, the resurrection verifies the sufficiency of Christ to pay for our sins. Verse 25 of Romans 4 says, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised up because of our justification. Remember that word justify means, it's a courtroom term, it means to declare not guilty. And by Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we were declared not guilty in the eyes of God. Why? Because the resurrection was proof that God had accepted Jesus' payment for our sins. Had Jesus remained in that tomb, it would have meant that he, like every other person, was dying for his own sins. But the fact that God raised him up and he escaped death meant that he died for our sins. Let me illustrate it for you this way. Suppose that we're in our staff meeting here at church, and I notice Tyler's just not himself. He's kind of downcast. He's usually so happy and positive and optimistic, but I notice he's a little bit downcast. And so I talked to him after staff. I said, Tyler, is something wrong? He said, well, I said, no, go ahead and tell me what's wrong. He said, well, we love being here at First Baptist, but, you know, making the move down here, we incurred a lot of extra expenses. And, you know, we're in debt, $20,000. We've got a Visa card bill for $20,000, and we don't know how we're going to pay. I said, Tyler, don't worry about that. You're doing such a great job. I'm going to pay that bill for you. He said, really? I said, yes. Oh, Dr. Jeffers, you don't know what a load that lifted off me. Thank you so much. And he just skips out of there. He's so happy. About 2 weeks later, he gets a call from Visa. Where is our money? We want our money, and we're going to come and get you or Deanna if you don't give us our money now. And Tyler said, oh, well, there must be a mix-up. My pastor, Dr. Jeffers, sent in a check to cover my debt. They said, well, let us check here. They fiddle around on the computer, and they come back on the line and said, oh, well, we did get a check from Dr. Jeffers for $20,000. Tyler is so relieved. They said, but we used that check against his debt of $100,000 he has with us. Send us the $20,000. Now, listen to me. To pay off somebody else's debt, you have to be debt-free. To pay off somebody else's sin, you have to be sin-free. And only Jesus Christ was sin-free. And that's why he said, it is finished, paid in full. That's what the resurrection did. It verified that the sufficient sacrifice of Christ was accepted by God. Number six. What does no resurrection mean? If there is no resurrection, all of our Christian loved ones have perished. Verse 18, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. The Bible uses fallen asleep to describe what happens to a Christian when he dies. It's not his soul that dies. His soul goes immediately to the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. But our physical body falls asleep until the resurrection. Paul said, if there is no resurrection, then those who have died in Christ, those Christian loved ones, have perished. That word perished doesn't mean just died physically. That would be repetitive. The word perished literally means to be damned forever. Remember, if there is no resurrection, then nobody's sins have been paid for. And that means those of your loved ones who claim to be Christians and have died, they are burning in hell right now. They are experiencing the same torture, the same hell as Osama bin Laden, Adolf Hitler, Charles Manson. Do you believe that about your Christian loved ones? Such an idea is preposterous. But that is exactly the consequence of no resurrection. And finally, he says, as a climax, if there is no resurrection, our lives are most miserable. Verse 19, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. He's saying, if there is no resurrection, if this life is all that there is, we who are Christians are the most miserable people in the world. Have you ever heard people say, well, you know, if I come to the end of my life and I discover that all of this was just a myth, I'm still glad I'm a Christian because I've lived the best way possible. Have you heard that before? Rubbish, the Apostle Paul says. If you're really a Christian, it means you've sacrificed something. You can't be a Christian without sacrificing something. I'm sure Paul thought about what he'd sacrificed, the beatings, the stonings, the imprisonment, the shipwrecks. He said, if I find out that there is no resurrection, then I am the most miserable person in the world because I've given everything to follow a risen Christ. We are of all people most miserable. That is the result of no resurrection. But Paul doesn't stop there. Look at verse 20. He says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead. There is no doubt in my mind. I've seen him. He has been raised from the dead. And not only that, he is the first fruits of those who are asleep. Now that sounds strange to some people, but the Jews understood what he was talking about. In the Old Testament law, there was the offering of first fruits. When harvest time came, if you had a piece of land and you were gathering the harvest, you would first of all take a sample of that harvest, grapes or wheat or whatever it was, and you would bring it to the priest. It was called the offering of first fruits. It was a sample of what was yet to come. And in the same way, Paul is saying the resurrection of Jesus is just a sample of an even greater harvest that is yet to come. Even more people who are going to be raised from the dead and will conquer death just like Jesus did. And who are the members of that offering, that first fruits offering? It is everyone who has ever trusted in Christ. He says in verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive." Who is it that is in Adam? What does he mean, in Adam? It means everybody who's ever been a descendant of Adam is going to die, not just physically, but spiritually separated from God. And who's a descendant of Adam? Everybody raise your hand. That would be you and me. We've all come from Adam. And because of that, we're all going to die. And if nothing happens in our life spiritually, we're going to die not just physically, but spiritually because of our sin. The wages of sin is death. For as in Adam, all die. But here's the way of escape. But in Christ, all shall be made alive. What does it mean to be in Christ? It means to put your faith and trust in Jesus. That is who is in Christ. As in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. Jesus said it this way in John 11:25. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again." Now, folks, whatever you do, don't move, don't leave, don't wrestle your papers. You listen to me for these next 3 minutes. Because your eternal destiny hangs on your understanding what I'm about to say. The only people who are going to be raised again and escape God's judgment are those who have believed in Jesus. But most people don't know what it means to believe in Jesus. They think to believe in Jesus means to believe the right things about Jesus. That he was the Son of God who died on the cross for the sins of the world and he rose again on the third day. They think if I believe those things, that's all I need to do. No, you can believe all of those things with all of your heart and go straight to hell when you die. To believe, the word believe in the New Testament means to cling to put your faith and trust in. It's not just intellectually believing in Christ. You know, we sang that song, the choir there, "Were you there?" Well, you and I weren't there. But guess who was there? The demons were there when they nailed him to the tree. The demons were there when they laid him in the tomb. The demons were there and saw when he arose from the dead. The demons all believed those things, but do you believe? In fact, you know the truth is, the demons believe those things more than you do, or more than I do, because they witnessed it. They were there. But is anybody going to argue demons are in heaven? No. It doesn't mean to just believe Jesus was the Son of God who died for the sins of the world. There comes that time in our life when we must believe it about our own lives. There has to come that moment of faith when we kneel before a holy God and we say, "God, I know I am a sinner. I know I deserve your punishment. I don't have any hope in myself. But I believe, I trust in, I cling to the fact that Jesus died on the cross for me, that he took the punishment from you that I deserve. And right now, I'm clinging to, trusting in, putting my whole weight upon what Jesus did for me to save me from my sins." And the Bible says the moment you say that to God and mean it with all of your heart, you are in Christ. You are in his hands. John 10:28, Jesus said, "I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. No man shall snatch out of my hands those whom the Father has given me." That's what it means to be in Christ. And those who are in Christ have eternal life. "I give eternal life to them." It is a quality of life that begins right now, and it extends throughout eternity. This week, I reread the story, the tragic story of Ray Combs. Ray Combs was an entertainer in the 1980s and 1990s on television. He had as his goal to become the next Johnny Carson, the great late-night talk show host. And he was on the road to doing that. He had a meteoric career that rose and rose and rose, and finally, the height of his career, he was selected to replace Richard Dawson on the TV game show Family Feud. Remember Family Feud? Well, he was the successor to Richard Dawson. He was on that show from 1988 to 1994. On one memorable episode of Family Feud that he hosted, he was going down the line meeting the members, the contestants of a particular family. And he came to one of the contestants who had a little lapel pin on that had two question marks on it. Now, if you've been through the Evangelism Explosion Witnessing Training Program, you know what that is. It's what they give out to people to help engage lost people in conversations with them. So that contestant had that on for this national TV show, and the host, Ray Combs, stopped and said, "Hey, tell me, what is that pin? What are those question marks?" He took the bait. And so right there on national television, the contestants say, "Oh, well, Ray, these two question marks stand for the two most important questions in the universe." And Ray Combs said, "Well, what's the first one? What's the first question?" And the contestant said, "Well, the first question is, if you were to die tonight, do you know for sure God would welcome you into heaven?" And Ray Combs said, "I'm not answering that on national television." Everybody laughed, and he went on down the road to talk to other people. Then he froze. He did an about face. Ray Combs went back to that contestant and said, "Okay, you got me. What is the second question?" The contestant said, "If God were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say?" Right there on national television. Ray Combs thought for a moment. He smiled. He said, "I would tell God because I'm the host of Family Feud and everybody loves me." And the audience went wild in applause and laughter, and the show went on. 2 years afterwards, Ray Combs was found dead. He had hung himself. He didn't even bother to leave a suicide note. Apparently, being host of Family Feud wasn't enough for satisfaction in this life, much less for entrance into heaven, into the next life. What is the answer to satisfaction in this life, to the assurance of heaven in the next life? It is believing in, trusting in, clinging to what Christ has done for you in forgiving your sins. Jesus said it this way, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life."
Jesus Christ, the one who died, was buried, and rose again, did so that we might have eternal life in him. That is very good news. And it's the good news that we proclaim every single day on Pathway to Victory. Not only here on this daily radio program, but on television, on popular digital platforms, and every channel that's at our disposal. Gratefully, in recent years, we've experienced a groundswell of support from generous friends like you. And this is very, very important because our impact around the world is directly correlated with the people who stand behind us. Simply stated, we couldn't do this without you. Well, during the month of March, every Pathway to Victory broadcast is focused on one primary topic, the power of the cross. To complement this teaching series, our team has been working behind the scenes to prepare a special gift for the people who fuel this ministry with their voluntary support. It's an exclusive new book called The Power of the Cross. As you're willing to invest in this ministry today, I'm going to say thank you by sending you a copy. You won't find this beautiful photo album of Israel anywhere other than right here at Pathway to Victory. And I should clarify, this is not just a picture book. With colorful images from Israel, The Power of the Cross tells the story of 7 days in the life of Jesus, from his triumphal entry into the holy city to his glorious resurrection on Easter morning. You'll want to place this book in a prominent spot in your home all year long as a visual reminder that your family places your trust in the power of the cross. Now, here's David to explain how to get in touch with us today.
Thanks, Dr. Jeffress. When you get in touch today with Pathway to Victory and give a generous gift, you're invited to request The Power of the Cross. It's a brand new large print book that outlines the week leading up to the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. Plus, as an added bonus, we'll also include a brand new brochure called 3 Days That Changed the World. Just call 866-999-2965 or visit our website at ptv.org. Now, as you give $75 or more, you'll also receive a brand new 8-part teaching series called Live from Israel. These dynamic messages were preached by Dr. Jeffress on location in the Holy Land, and they come to you on both DVD video and MP3 format audio disc. One more time, our phone number, 866-999-2965, or go to ptv.org. If you'd prefer to send your gift by mail, write to P.O. Box 223-609, Dallas, Texas, 75222. That's P.O. Box 223-609, Dallas, Texas, 75222. I'm David J. Mullins. Is there really such thing as life after death? Gratefully, because of Easter, we can answer that question with confidence. Discover how the resurrection of Jesus takes us from tragedy to triumph. Join us Tuesday for Pathway to Victory. Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress comes from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. You made it to the end of today's podcast from Pathway to Victory, and we're so glad you're here. Pathway to Victory relies on the generosity of loyal listeners like you to make this podcast possible. One of the most impactful ways you can give is by becoming a Pathway partner. Your monthly gift will empower Pathway to Victory to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and help others become rooted more firmly in His Word. To become a Pathway partner, go to ptv.org/podcast and click on the Donate button or follow the link in our show notes. We hope you've been blessed by today's podcast from Pathway to Victory.